Take one modern lady, mixed with classic sensibilities and a keen eye on what's news. A fellow at the Independent Women's Forum, Kelsey Bowler, exclusively at Kevin McCullough Radio.
Well, I don't know if you saw the article this week, but there was a, I don't know what, trans-identifying male is how they're calling it, Tiffany Thomas. It's a biological male that won a woman's bike race, and it was interesting to, you know, just see that once again, a man competing against all these women generally tends to win. And my next guest, Kelsey Bowler, the aforementioned, just said on Twitter, she said, rather than the exception, these stories are quickly becoming the norm. Aren't they, though? I mean, I remember a year ago, 2 years ago, when the girls in Connecticut were losing all their track meets because you had two dudes racing in the girls' division. And it's just gotten worse, seemingly week after week since then. The aforementioned Kelsey Bowler does join us, and I'm grateful for her time. She's a busy mom, and she is also doing important work for the Independent Women's Forum. If you have not been apprised to her Identity Crisis docu-series that started out as a documentary and is now grown beyond that, you need to go to IWF.org and see that for yourself. But Kelsey, we're not going to talk about the detransitioning issue today. We've talked a lot about that in the past. There's another subject that you're quite passionate about, mostly because you're in the throes of it yourself. There's this story or there's this book that appears to attack motherhood, and you commented on it, and you said it's part of a larger trend. What do you mean?
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm sure many in your audience are familiar with these very negative depictions of motherhood. It seems like any time one of the mainstream establishment news organizations is willing to feature a story on motherhood, it depicts it in a negative light as mothers being victims of the patriarchy, of slaves to their children, and really just children being the source of so much unhappiness in their lives, when we actually know the studies tell us the exact opposite, that the vast majority of women are extremely fulfilled by motherhood. In fact, there's few things in life that can be as meaningful and fulfilling as bringing a new child into this world. And that's not to say motherhood doesn't come with its challenges, that sure. Certainly I support, you know, having open and honest conversations about. But unfortunately, I'm seeing this slippery slope where the coverage has now got to the point where we have this New York Times book review of some fictional book, and it's praising this new book. The piece is called The Hand That Rocks the Cradle is Exhausted. And the book goes so far in attempting to destigmatize postpartum depression that it's treating the symptoms of postpartum depression as if it were just an honest rendering of early motherhood, of, you know, what moms experience, when in reality postpartum depression is a very serious diagnosis that, yes, you know, a significant number of new moms face, but it is not normal, and we don't want to treat it as normal, because if you are a mother who's struggling with postpartum depression and you're being told by the media that your feelings are normal, you might not go seek treatment. Why would you seek treatment for something that everybody is telling you is normal? So I think it's a very dangerous depiction of motherhood. It's false and completely toxic, something we have to reject.
What is the end game for people that are down on motherhood? Where does this idea that, you know, just because it's not just you, my friend Bethany Mandel, who just gave birth, was on The Hill's closed circuit TV morning show a week ago, I think, on something called The Rising. And the female anchor on that show, Brianna Gray, I think is her name, was in the off mic, hot mic, saying, you know, oh, I hate parents, I hate mothers. This all out despising of motherhood and of parents, like, I don't get it. What's the goal there?
I think the goal is twofold. One, it is part of this larger, larger effort to literally stop women from having children in the name of the climate crisis. There are some very powerful individuals who believe, you know, children and babies and high birth rates are the cause of our environmental issues, and the only way to solve it is to stop having babies. I know that sounds ridiculous and conspiracy theory-esque, but this is a real effort happening all the way up at the UN, and we know many organizations are involved with trying to promote birth control, other forms of contraception, even abortion on two countries with relatively high birth rates because they are just against procreation in general.
Right.
I think, you know, something that's probably more relatable here in the United States is this effort to have every woman in the workforce contributing to our global economy. Unfortunately, I think so many powerful figures here in the United States devalue women as mothers and paint this picture that women are contributing the most to society when they're engaging in the workforce. And unfortunately, we know that this isn't what many women want, especially after motherhood. Many women value flexibility, the ability to be a mom and also contribute maybe part-time to the workforce, or they value the ability to just take a step back when taking care of their little ones, because there's nothing more important in their lives at that time than raising those little children. So, I think there's many motivations to devalue and disparage motherhood. Those are two shining examples that, you know, come up time and again in the media. But I think it's really unfortunate that the New York Times and other publications continue to promote this false and at times dangerous depiction of motherhood.
Yeah.
It's extremely degrading to those of us, the vast majority of us, who are extremely fulfilled by it.
Well, I was about to say, I think that the people that fall into those categories, at least to the degree that you describe them, are so minute percentage-wise, but they have this kind of outsized voice in media that makes it seem like, you know, you're not a good feminist if you love kids. And
right.
I don't comprehend that, because again, society does not survive if we don't have another generation of children. I know that they're kind of ticked that, you know, those of us of sincere worldview and belief and even faith get to pass those legacies down to our kids. And I know that they think that if you have like a ton of kids, you know, you're going to have a lot of people that still believe in those old fashioned weirdo ideas of worldview and faith and principle and morals and all that stuff. But I'm kind of like, that comes with the territory. We're having the kids. You're not. You're not raising little monsters to negate what my hopefully good, responsible kids are going to bring to this world. And I don't know. I think the world's a better place when we follow that. Anyway, always appreciate the insights, Kelsey. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, Kevin, they're threatened by it. Thank you.
You got it. All right, there she goes. And she put on Twitter that she was reading that article while cleaning up the puke of her 3-year-old, 30 weeks pregnant, and, you know, fighting a stomach bug herself. I mean, who's a bigger hero than moms these days? Kevin McCullough, coming right back.